There is a writer in Uruguay by the name of Eduardo Galeano. He writes about the prisons in Uruguay. And one article that he wrote, he said, there was a special prison in Uruguay for political prisoners. Here they were not allowed to talk without permission, or whistle, or smile, or sing, walk fast, or greet other prisoners. They could not make or receive drawings of couples or butterflies or stars or birds. One Sunday afternoon, Didaco Perez, a school teacher who was tortured and jailed for having ideological ideas, is visited by his 5-year-old daughter, Malay. She brings him a drawing of birds. The guards destroy it at the entrance of the jail. On the following Sunday, Malay brings him a drawing of trees. Trees are not forbidden, and the drawing gets through. Her father praises her artwork and asks her about the colored circles scattered in the treetops. Are they oranges, he asks. What kind of fruit are they? The child puts her finger to her mouth. Shh, she says. And she whispers in her father's ear, don't you see that they are eyes? They're the eyes of the birds that I've smuggled in for you. Despite the prison, despite the torture, despite the suffering, Malay is still able to bring the gift of birds to her father. She is not afraid to visit the prison, to sneak past the guards, or to be in this dark place. Her heart is filled with the song of the birds, and it cannot be stopped. We have a saying here at Spiritus Christi that we've had since the beginning of our church. You can cut back some of the flowers, but you can't hold back the spring. And we need to hear that, don't we? Especially right now. You can cut back some of the flowers, but you can't hold back the spring. Another way of saying that love cannot be stopped, and Jesus' love will not be stopped. Even in his death, he loves the same way that he did in life. We know that in this Holy Week, Jesus was rejected, that he was beaten, that he was humiliated, ridiculed, and tortured. And yet, what was his response to all of these things? He healed the ear of the soldier who tried to arrest him. He forgave the thief that hung on the cross next to him. He asked his disciple John to take care of his mother. He brought peace to Peter, who had denied him, and he will offer his wounds to Thomas, who will doubt him. Jesus has only one defense, and that is love. He has nothing else, no sword, no rocks, no barricade. The Easter story today tells us that Mary Magdalene gets up while it is still dark. Why while it's still dark? Because like little Malay, she is not afraid of the dark. She is not afraid of the soldiers. She's not afraid of Pontius Pilate. She does not want to go home and hide under a blanket. She wants to be present to what is happening. She has nothing to lose. The only thing her heart desires is to be close to Jesus. So she's awake in the middle of the night, and she decides to get up and go to the tomb. And when she gets there, she discovers that the huge stone has been rolled away and the tomb is empty. Jesus is gone, or so it seems at first. But because she is there in the darkness, because she is present, she sees Jesus. This cycle of Easter comes again and again in our lives, a cycle where there are difficult parts of our lives, pain, despair, loneliness, followed by confusion, and then a resurrection, a rising again, a waking up, a new Easter, a new spring. Jesus comes to us at Easter to show us how to rise again, how to pick ourselves up, how to remember that we are more than the difficulties in our life. But sometimes we're not so sure. There's a Peanuts cartoon with Lucy talking to Charlie Brown, and Lucy says, I hate everything. I hate everybody. I hate the world. And Charlie Brown looks at Lucy and says, "But Lucy, I thought you said you had inner peace." And Lucy replies, "I do have inner peace, but I still have outer obnoxiousness." Sometimes we know that deep within us there is an inner peace, but we just can't get rid of the outer obnoxiousness. It's just covering everything up. And our outer obnoxiousness is a sign of our own fears, our own anxieties, and our own worries. Once we let go of those fears, the outer obnoxiousness falls away, and we do discover that we do indeed have inner peace. We do have love within us that we can do more with. We can love more. And Easter is a time to remember who we are created to be. It takes a lot of courage to be present to the moment, to not shut out the plea of those who are begging for help, to not to dismiss the needs of those we love the most, and not to ignore the sadness in our own hearts and take time to heal. In the past few years, we have seen the suffering of hundreds of thousands of people around the world and in our own country, fleeing hatred, violence, and greed. The images and stories of pain and suffering are constant and sad and overwhelming. Many people want nothing to do with them. They don't want to hear about them. They can't tolerate listening to it. But there are other people who respond very differently. Instead of seeing the problem, they see a way that they can help, something that they can do, a gift that they can offer. Every week, there's a grandmother in our parish who visits Nielsen House, which is a home for men coming out of prison. She spends the evening talking with the group of men, and they open up their hearts and tell their stories. Is she a therapist? No. Is she a counselor? No. She's a grandmother with a big heart. Every Monday, 40 volunteers from Spiritus descend upon the World of Inquiry School to tutor second graders in reading. This is radical work, providing children an education. Do you not think so? Then think for a minute of Malala Yousafzai, the Pakistani young woman who was shot in the head by the Taliban for campaigning for the right for girls to go to school. Education is a radical gift that we give. 2 weeks ago, we had a coffee hour here after Mass. It was put on by our Speaking from the Heart group that teaches immigrants how to speak English. But we did not make the food. The immigrants made the food. They stayed up all night and brought food from their various countries, Sudan, and different places. They put on a huge banquet, a huge feast for us. They blessed us because they have been blessed by people here who reached out and said, "How can I help you? Can I teach you English? Can I drive you to an appointment? Can I help you find clothes for your child?" And one of my favorite angels is a man by the name of Bruno. He comes from my home state of California, and he's a celebrity chef in Los Angeles. He has a very famous restaurant. In 2005, his mother came from Italy to visit him and to see this restaurant. She walked around, looked at it, and then she said, "Let's go for a walk." So they went for a walk down the sidewalk, and they passed a homeless shelter. When they passed it, she said, "Let's go inside, Bruno." So they went in, and she saw a 6-year-old boy eating potato chips for dinner. And she said to Bruno, "Why is he eating potato chips for dinner?" He said, "Mom, I don't know why he's eating potato chips for dinner." She said, "Well, where is the pasta? Get him some pasta, Bruno." So Bruno went back to the restaurant, came back to the shelter with pasta, and thus began his ministry of making pasta for 72 children 5 nights a week. Children who lived in motels and had no regular dinner. Today, that feeding program feeds 17,900 children a week. Beautiful, huh? God had a mission for Bruno, although it did take his mother to get him to do it, right? Who are these angels? They are Easter people, people that have risen above the fear of the dark, the fear of the unknown, the fear of themselves. And as they rise up, their ability to love grows and grows. We also are Easter people. We have the ability to love, to let our love grow stronger and deeper for our families, our friends, and the people around us. All we need is what we have now. This is just about being who you really are, nothing more than that. I think that children understand Easter the best of all of us. They understand God's joy and God's presence, even when they are suffering. After the World War II concentration camps were freed and people were able to go into the barracks where children had stayed, they discovered that on the walls there were thousands of pictures of caterpillars, chrysalises, and butterflies that the children had drawn. Pictures of caterpillars turning into butterflies, endlessly repeated. Somehow these children knew that their suffering was not the end of the story. They knew there was more to come, and so they drew their pictures. Children are very close to God. I have the great privilege of being a grandmother to a 4-year-old grandson, Jace, and a 10-month-old granddaughter, Julia, which I'm so happy that they're here this morning with me. Yeah. If you have never seen their picture, I will be at the door on the way out. So. Recently, I brought Julia to a meeting with me at Spiritus. I get to watch her on Wednesday afternoons, and Mom had to work late. So she came with me to a meeting of about 10 people. She's at an age where she's very shy, a little bit uneasy with strangers. But for an hour and a half, she sat at my feet and in my lap, content to be in a room of strangers, if she was close enough to be able to reach out and touch me. Because Julia knows that she doesn't have to be any different than she is. She knows that she is perfect to me. If she falls asleep, she is perfect. If she cries, she is perfect. If she talks in church, she is perfect. If she falls asleep, she is perfect. She is a little God beam, and nothing that happens, nothing she does or doesn't do, can change that. Both Jace and Julia are God beams, and that's an Easter reminder for all of us, because each one of us is also a God beam. We sit at the feet of God, and we are God's beloved children. We sometimes forget that as we get older. We cover it up, or we're afraid to show it. Perhaps we're worried that our light will not be bright enough to shine through the darkness. Or perhaps we're concerned that we've done something wrong. But Jesus is here to tell you that you are indeed a God beam, and that God's love is already in you and shining through you. Today he says to us, rise up in your love. Rise up in your dreams. Rise up in your hopes. You are free to love again, even if you have been rejected. You are free to trust again, even if you have been betrayed. You are free to care again, even if you have been hurt. You are not alone. You are sitting at the feet of God, and God is with you always and every moment. The disciples were in despair when Jesus died. They were in a tomb of hopelessness, but Jesus transformed them from a band of broken men and women to a group of daring missionaries ready to heal the world. Everywhere they went, they carried the power of Easter to work miracles in people's lives. It is not just Easter that rises on Easter, just Jesus that rises on Easter. It is all of us. Jesus comes to give us everything that God gave to him, to remind us that we are pure love, to show us that we can build a world where love triumphs over death, where faith heals broken hearts, and where the least can become the greatest. Today we can take the risk to take the stone away, to leave our fears behind, and to let the love begin. Happy Easter, everyone.